How did you know that you had to start prioritizing yourself and your business? Welcome to the Supported CEO Podcast. I'm Ellie Runkles.
And I'm Jenny Kraus. We're on a mission to help exhausted entrepreneurs feel a little less alone as you navigate what it looks like to create space to rest and recover while also running a business and managing all of life's to-dos that don't just stop when you need to take a break.
We've got a lot to cover, so let's get straight into the conversations we should all be having more of.
Let's go.
It was December 2020, I believe. I was sitting on my couch with my husband after putting our kids to bed, and I was doom scrolling, if you will. We were probably watching Netflix. And I was on Instagram just scrolling away, and all of a sudden I just really felt so overwhelmed. Like, not just by like what I was just reading. I don't remember what I was reading or seeing, but I was already just in such a place of just not feeling well, feeling overwhelmed. And I was so overwhelmed in this moment on social media that I just closed it down, immediately deleted all the social media apps from my phone, like fully deleted them. And then I looked to my husband and I said, I just want you to know, I just deleted all of my social media apps. I'm telling you for accountability, I need a real break. And then in the very next moment, my next thought was, oh shit. I literally teach people how to be visible in their business. And at that point, I began to question like my values a little bit because I was in this juxtaposition of I knew that I needed to take a break from social media. And also I knew that for years, I've been teaching people how to show up and be more visible online on the internet. And the way that social media was changing over the last, you know, couple of years specifically, it had gotten out of control, like for my own taste. We went from needing to create content that was like 5 posts a week, maybe some videos here and there, to a new standard in the TikTok age of creating 5 posts a day, 5 video posts a day. And I just don't know how we got there as a society, but it wasn't something that I wanted to perpetuate because I felt like it had led me to burnout. Not that I was creating content or posting at that capacity. I don't even have a TikTok. But just knowing that when I was teaching visibility, that was the new status quo. It wasn't just get more comfortable in your own skin, be very clear on your message, like be brave, bold, and courageous to go live and do some stories. It was live your entire life creating video content all day, every day. And it became too much. And so I started to question where what I taught in the, like what I was teaching in for visibility, where were my values in that? Mm-hmm. So I really needed to hit pause to kind of think about that a little bit.
And so in that moment, when you were sitting on the couch and you decided to delete social media, you weren't thinking about that in the moment, right? You were just thinking, I know that I have to get off of social media. I know that I can't be scrolling and looking at these things and like be in this world so deeply. And then it was after you made that decision for yourself. Is that when you started to have those realizations that like, actually I've lost myself in this, that I, Yeah.
So it for sure wasn't something that was on my radar prior. I just I think a symptom, if you will, was like, I was just really tired. I was exhausted. I was burnt out. Like, I was very overwhelmed. I remember feeling just overwhelmed and knowing in that moment, something has to go. And for me, it had to be social media. Consuming other people's every day when I wasn't really connected to my own every day, that had to take a back burner for me to be able to get present with myself so that I could then reflect and kind of come to that realization of, in my scale of visibility coaching, where do I actually fit into this spectrum? So yeah, it definitely wasn't a pre-planned question. It was just something that came out of taking that very, like, almost just like crucial for my health, if you will, like, choice. And then telling my husband for accountability. Because I knew, like, if I didn't tell anybody, I'd probably have the apps back on my phone before I went to bed. Mm-hmm. Or the next day. But telling him, he was going to be able to hold me accountable and say, hey, I thought you deleted social media. And I knew that I needed support, like, outside of myself. Mm-hmm. In that moment.
Mm-hmm. And so even though, you know, social media was such a big piece of what you were doing, and social media was such a big piece of the visibility work that you had built a whole brand around, you knew that prioritizing yourself in that moment meant removing social media, and that was going to cause some issues, right? Like, that was going to cause some big ripple effects in your business. That you had to do that prioritization. I can really relate to that. In a different sense, in my copywriting business, when I was both writing sales and conversion copy for clients and also coaching clients on how to do that work, I remember a moment when I started to really question, wait, the ways that I'm teaching people to write copy, the ways that I'm writing for clients, this is not what I thought I was signing up for. And it sounds like it's similar to what you experienced with social media, was when you got into the work, it was really about helping people tap into their message, tap into what they're here to share and visibly, you know, get that message out there. With my copywriting clients, a lot of the work that I was doing was helping people to really tap into that message they want to share too, that's aligned with their vision, that's aligned with, like, what their people need to hear, doing that in a way that is, like, really supportive of them and their people. But the longer I was in that industry, the more I was learning from other, you know, experts and sales gurus and people, you know, people in the online business space, the more I was letting some of the messages around, this is how you're supposed to say things in order to sell, this is how you're supposed to say things in order to, you know, convert people, that was creeping in ways that felt more and more misaligned the deeper into it I got. And I remember having a moment where you and I have talked about this before, but I remember having a moment when one of the sort of leaders in the online business space that I had learned a ton from, I had been pretty involved in their programs and things like that. Just some stuff started to come out a couple years ago that just kind of led to some realizations around really manipulative behavior within that space, really manipulative sales and selling tactics and kind of cults like behavior once you're in the programs and things like that. And as that started coming to light for me, I kind of had a similar experience where I was like, I don't know what I believe anymore in terms of what I'm teaching people in my business and also what I'm doing in my business. And so I had kind of a similar moment where it was like, I can't keep teaching this stuff until I figure out what it actually is that I want to be spreading, what message I actually want to be spreading. And I had a similar experience where I was like, okay, I'm shutting this down. I'm turning these ads off, even though this offer is converting very well. I'm turning these ads off. I'm shutting it down. I need to reevaluate and think about this because I feel like I have completely lost myself in the message that I am spreading. And I've got to come back to me before I can, I don't know what's going to be next, but I've got to come back to me before I can figure out what that is.
Yes, that's so powerful. And I think too, that hits on something that, you know, people who are entrepreneurs and people who really identify themselves as leaders, whether it's leaders in the current business space that you're in, or leaders of something that's going to be in the future that you haven't even visioned or built yet, something that's your next vision. But kind of coming back to this idea that as leaders, I do feel that part of that role and that responsibility of calling yourself a leader and identifying as a leader is being able to take a step back to get clarity and to reflect and to ask yourself really hard questions in order to see the new path forward. And it's not just perpetuating the same over and over and over again. It's getting clear to see the new path forward. And I think that's just not talked about enough.
Yeah, it really isn't. And, you know, what you were saying about social media, like you taking that break from social media, you were overwhelmed. You needed to take that break for lots of reasons. But I would guess that in taking that break, shutting down that noise that's constantly coming at you from social media, did that help you in that process of like making space to be able to sort through those things for yourself?
Oh my gosh, immensely. Like it helps so much that when, so first of all, the first aha, like the next aha I had after the oh shit aha was, if I have to have a business where I can't take a break from Instagram, I don't want that business. And so this was also a test of, well, if I delete it, like, then how strong is my email list? You know, at the time I had a podcast, like, you know, how strong are these other marketing pieces that I enjoyed producing actually a lot more? So it was an opportunity to really not just do the status quo of like, I'm just grinding out social posts, but was my heart really in it? Or, you know, was I able to keep up with the changes of what the app demanded? The answer was just simply no, because I wanted to prioritize other things in my life. So realizing that I didn't want to have a business that really relied so heavily on me showing up on social. So that was really key to anything I was going to continue to build or rebuild in the future. And then I started to implement social media free weeks from there on out. Like it gave that break, which from December 2020, I think I didn't come back until after New Year's. So it was probably like a 4-week break. That very first one. And then when I came back, I said, okay, all of 2021, I was going to have 1 week off of social media every single month, which would then become my visionary week, my CEO visionary week, where I would cut out all the noise. And this is where I would plan the future of my business. I would plan my content. I would write my content. I would meet with my team, strategize for upcoming launches, you know, do like, you know, take myself out on walks, work at different cafes, just do things that made me feel good. And knowing that I was off of social, I also tried to not schedule like regular meetings in that week. I know that's not always possible, but I tried to do that as much as I could. And then last summer, I actually took a social media free summer. I like when my kids got out of school for the summer, I deleted the apps because I thought, what could summer look like with me, like just being present with my kids and me not being on my phone. So it kind of started with that one thing, but then it really turned into personal values and also as a way for me to start to become an example for my kids who are not near the age of having a phone or social media yet. They are 8 and 5, but knowing that's a part of our world that we live in, they see it every day, older kids that they go to school with. But I don't want to perpetuate that. Like, I'm on my phone in front of them more than I have to be. And I'm not by any means saying I'm perfect. I absolutely sit and scroll in the presence of being with my children. So like, I am just being very honest. But I do try to be more mindful of my life and how I'm building my business and how much time that requires of me creating consistent social content versus more intentional other types of content like this podcast, for example. So I guess all that to say is like that very much like desperate plea to myself to change something really ended up turning into one of the biggest value assets that I now have in my life, both as like a leader and an entrepreneur, but also as a mother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like that. I guess you could call it a breaking point, like that breaking point when you were like, I got to delete social media. I cannot keep up with this anymore. And then realizing, oh, that's going to impact things. I've got to like really kind of question what this means for me. It sounds like that process really opened up something really beautiful, honestly, that has helped you to, you know, not have to say, you know, black and white, no more social media ever. I'm staying off of this app forever, never downloading it again kind of thing. It doesn't have to be an all or nothing, but that when you take that time, whether it's intentional or just some kind of intuitive, like my body is telling me that I've got to get off social media, whatever is kind of leading to that. It sounds like that experience really led to you being able to work with it in a way that works much better for you and for, you know, what we're building now and all of that.
Yes. I think what you just said about questioning what this means for me, that was such a like bedrock for us building Supported CEO is once I think we, through our conversations, we've both individually began questioning what things meant for us. Mm-hmm. So much so that when we came together and started building Supported CEO, we now question what everything means to us.
Yeah.
Are we doing this because somebody taught us this or someone told us this was the only way? Mm-hmm. Or are we doing it this way because this feels really good and aligned and with clear direction towards the vision that we have for what we're building? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the point or the part that a lot of people aren't allowing themselves to do, is to question what this means for me. Taking pause, whether it be a breaking point, which was my point of my social media deletion, but just taking pause on why we're doing anything, if you've been doing it long term or short term, or it's not feeling good or it's feeling hard, but just asking yourself, like, what does this mean for me? And why am I doing it this specific way? And if it's not feeling good, am I doing it this way because someone told me to do it this way? Or because this feels good to me? Or do I, as a very smart, capable human being, know a way to still do this, but do it better than what I was told? And for me, just using social media as an example, realizing like I actually really enjoy social media. I am a social butterfly. Like I love to connect with people. I love to build community. Social media is normally like life-giving more than draining for me, but also realizing I need to have values and principles tied into that. And it wasn't black or white. It wasn't delete social media and never go back or live on it 24/7. It was like, how can this coexist with the life and business that I'm trying to build and also keep me in a healthy place? And being off of social media, you know, a couple of days a month is very good for my mental health, for anybody's mental health, I can imagine. Because I think there was an entire world that was out there. I lived in it because I'm of the older generation. I'm an elder millennial. So I lived in a world where there wasn't social media, and I just dreamed and played and doodled and created games and made up things in my head. And I know that that's still possible for us as CEOs, as visionaries, as strong women, as entrepreneurs, that we need to create that space to like tap back into what's really inside of us and not just connecting with what's coming at us.
That's a really good point. And it gets me thinking about the ways that we can really prioritize making the changes necessary in order to prioritize ourselves and make sure that we're taking care of ourselves as we're building our businesses. And also, like the work that needs to happen to get there, and also how we can continue doing that in our day-to-day lives. So I know that, you know, for us, as we're building this, we have full plates, you know, we've got a lot going on. We've got a lot inside and outside of business that takes up our capacity, and building this together is really important to us. And so we have both had to go through processes of really getting clear on what stays and what goes on our plates in order to make space for this. What sacrifices are we willing to make that feel in alignment with where we're going? And also what sacrifices in terms of like the speed at which we'd like to work or the goals that we have, and like the timeline for that, what sacrifices are we able to make there in order to continue prioritizing ourselves as we go? And so for me, one of the ways that I do that is making sure that I take time, usually like most weekends, I will take time that is just completely disconnected time to give myself a break, to check in with myself, leave the phone in another room, like leave like any business, like work related things completely out, to just take time and space for me, reading fiction books, I live close to the beach. So like laying on the beach with not a lot going on, just like taking that space to prioritize myself in a way that like allows me to really rest and fully disconnect. And I know that then doing that work, makes me much better able to show up in the way that I want to show up in the time that I have to dedicate to my business.
Yes. I love that. And you just kind of brought me full circle for a second. Back to your earlier conversation where you were talking about being a copywriter and realizing like you've actually helped people in a different way for a really long time, but maybe you were calling it something else. And you and I have kind of talked like outside of this podcast episode about some of the work that we have done in the past and you just saying like how you disconnect to help yourself be able to show up for the way that you need to show up, like that just brought me full circle home to, I've always been doing this work. You know, I've been, I always said like I was helping women show up more confidently in their brand by helping them hone their message and their story and their vision. But truth be told, like I just wanted women to be supported in whatever way that needed to be so that they could show up for building the life and business that they wanted to build. And I think like that's this full circle moment of how Supported CEO came about, you know, for the both of us, which I think we'll get more into in another episode coming up very soon. But yeah, I think for anyone listening, I think just permission to make changes necessary for both your life and business and reevaluating the capacity on both sides, not just business, but life too. You know, something that I started doing last summer, again, as a mom of two small kids, realizing how quick those calendars fill up and the summer calendars fill up. Cause it's like every day I'm getting an email from the teacher now that we're at the end of the school year. And I'm like, whoa, I wasn't prepared for this. You know, my oldest is just in second grade. So I'm kind of new into the school age child routine. So last year I decided, you know what, we're having a no plans weekend. So once a month we have a weekend where we just don't commit. Like if there's birthday invitations that come in, like we just say no, you know, for that weekend. Like we don't attend, you know, anything, any outside invitations or commitments. Like we just don't do it for a weekend. And it's okay because I want us to be able to disconnect and recharge like as a family. And it's a lot of fun, like being like with people and in community. I absolutely love that. But I also know that I'm really recharged when it's just us four. And that brings like me back to like my most fulfilled state. And I want to teach my kids that it's recharging is equally important to their success and not always being on the go. So the same applies for being a supported CEO.
So, okay. So with those no plans weekends that you do with your family, I love that idea. I'm curious, how does that work? Like practically and in reality, you know, like when you're actually doing it, do you get pushback from your kids? Do you get pushback from the people you're saying no to? Is it hard to hold that boundary or does it come naturally to you?
Boundaries do not come natural to me. So like I grew up, you know, in a like small southern town and like you respect your elders and like you kind of like, so
I go along with it.
Smile and go along. So I didn't learn what the word boundary was until I was an adult. Didn't even know those existed. So I've definitely done a lot of boundary work over the last 5 years specifically. And learning that in order for me to be the most supported version of myself, that doesn't mean giving all of me away to others at the expense of myself. And I want my kids to know that we as a family can say no. Now, are my kids saying no to their friends' parties because my mom says we're having a no plans weekend? Most of the time it's actually worked out where there hasn't been a birthday party that we've had to say no to yet. But it's more along the lines of, you know, my son does theater every Saturday. Well, out of the four Saturdays a month, if he misses going to one, like it's okay. Yes, we still pay for it. But it's more important that we just have a lazy weekend. And, you know, my kids are going to school 5 days a week and now they do extracurricular activities and You know, sometimes we want to sleep in and make pancakes for breakfast, but we can't do that if we're up by 8 and out the door by 8:45. And so it's like, that's the hustle I don't want to perpetuate. I want us to also say, you know what, let's have a lazy Saturday morning. And if it means we got to skip theater or saying no to seeing friends this weekend to just like be the four of us, then that's what it has to be. That also gives us the space to decide, like, maybe we want to have a full weekend. Maybe we want to go to the lake. Maybe we want to go on a road trip. Or maybe we want to lay around and play cards and play games and kind of do a bunch of nothing together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's just having that flexibility of tapping into, like, what do we want to do today without it being pre-planned?
Yeah, I love that. I think that makes so much sense. And I, you know, I don't have like, and I don't have kids. And so it's a little maybe easier for me to do this with less structure around it. So I don't have like a plans, no plans weekend kind of structure system like you've just talked about. But that is something that I do quite regularly, especially for me as an introvert. I know that I need downtime to recharge. And I also know as an introvert that I can get into a place where, like, I am a homebody. I like to be at my house on my couch, like with my, you know, closest people and not really anybody else. Like, that is my kind of where I like to be.
That's your happy place.
That's my happy place. Exactly. And at the same time, I also know that that introverted tendency for me can lead to a little bit too much isolation. And so that is like a balancing act that I'm always navigating. And over the last few months, part of prioritizing myself has been prioritizing the social part of me, because that's a part of me that I, you know, as an introvert, you know, kind of ignored for a long time. And so sometimes those, that recharging on the weekend, sometimes that actually means being more social than I would be, you know, that I would tend to be otherwise. And then also at the same time, just being aware of like, of my energy levels and knowing, okay, I've had a particularly hard week. I'm not going to put that, you know, pressure on myself to be social this weekend, even though I know I'll probably have a good time doing it. I know that I need to recharge. And so I'm going to have this slow, you know, not available to anybody type of weekend to recharge for myself. And so that's something that, you know, through the course of like learning and growing over the last several years, you know, boundaries were a big thing that I've learned recently, you know, not recently, you know, over the last years, that prioritizing yourself can look different in different seasons and even look different in, like, from day to day. And so building that awareness of like, what do I actually need in this moment to prioritize myself, knowing that that can be different at different times, has also been a really big part for me of getting to a place where I am and we are able to, you know, come back to entrepreneurship, come back to business in a way that feels really aligned and feels really true to me and what I need to yes, do this.
100%. And it's like, I'm no longer putting myself last. And I've really embraced the full pendulum shift that I have to put myself first. It's not like being a leader, being a giver, being one that like serves others. The definition of that is not putting yourself last. The definition should be really putting yourself first. What do I need today so that I can do my best work and be in support of others doing the same? It's the same for me being present in my partnership with my husband, with my kids, in my partnership with you as my business partner, leading our community, serving our clients. I have to wake up and say, what does Jenny need in order to be my best self, and be completely okay answering that question and it not being labeled as selfish. Because for me, in my upbringing, in my world, like, putting yourself first was selfish. That is just what my surroundings taught me. And knowing that, like, that's actually not true. That's how everything else manages. Everything else is, you know, more supported, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that is probably a good place for us to wrap up for today, because in the next episode, we're going to be diving much more into our journeys of how we got to a place of burnout, ultimately because we were not putting ourselves first and prioritizing ourselves and our needs in as we were building our businesses. And so for now, if you enjoyed this conversation, we invite you to spend some time thinking about what you need to do to prioritize yourself in your business. And you can join us on Instagram at supported_CEO to keep the conversation going. And we'll see you in the next episode. You know you've got too much on your plate right now, but as a busy business owner with clients and a team counting on you, plus a whole life outside of business that needs your attention as well, you can't just push it all to the side while you rest and recover. That's why we created the Capacity Planning Workbook, to help you take an honest look at the things you have on your plate so you can release what needs to go and make the most of your limited time, energy, and brain space to face the things that can't. This self-coaching workbook will help you balance the things you currently have on your plate with a lot more ease, and will introduce you to a system you can use week after week to stop overfilling your to-do list and align your life and business in a way that supports both your big, ambitious goals and your whole human self. Grab the workbook for free at supportedceo.com/capacity.